Few minutes for questions after each session because we have, as you've seen, we only have three presentations rather than four, so we have some time for questions. And I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that stood out for me. We're working on a project on reducing stigma and discrimination among voluntary counseling and testing services in Central America with a specific focus on men who have sex with men and female sex workers. And a couple of the things Jesse said really resonated. One was the importance of including all of the staff, because a lot of the stigma and discrimination that the clients are reporting have to do with the janitor or the receptionist or, you know, the way they're asked to wait outside or wait separately because of the stigma that exists. And also the importance of definitions as well. That's something else that the clients really talked a lot about. Just for example, transgender clients do want to be called he or she, and, you know, the unwillingness of the providers to, or lack of knowledge about how to even address them. So I think those are really important issues. And then I'd like to ask if any of you have questions or comments that you'd like Jesse to address. Questions, comments? Okay, then we can move on. Oh, okay, we have a question from... Could you use the mic, Jesse, and
sure.
Kind of rephrase the question?
So the question is whether or not we track
what the characteristics of the clients are ready or services are set up to meet different needs of different groups on different days.
Yeah, sort of the service provision piece is sort of what's come last in the project because we really want to make sure that member associations are up to speed before we start really promoting the services. So they're only sort of actively being promoted in maybe two or three MAs. And in terms of tracking services, what's been sort of most effective is we're tracking referrals from sort of the GLBTQ organizations that we're working with. So that's sort of giving us an idea of how many people are coming to the member associations. Is that... sort of, yeah. But we're sort of, you know, because obviously we don't ask sexual orientation, so it's not tracked in the clinical records, but.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. We'll also have some time at the end for a discussion. So we're going to move and change a little bit the focus. We're going to be really focusing more on much more concrete performance improvement tool. So I'd like to introduce Leslie Watts. She's a program analyst with the Bixby Center for Global Reproductive Health at UCSF. And then our next panelist after that will also be from the Bixby Center. And I understand that many of you are also from the Bixby Center. So I thought it might be interesting. How many, raise your hands if you're from there. So we have a great turnout. And I've noticed actually the whole week we've had really great presentations and posters and participation from UCSF. So I think that's really exciting. Leslie works through a contract with the California Department of Health to support and evaluate the state's family planning program. So she's focusing on quality improvement, policy development, and implementation, and recently has been doing a comprehensive medical records review of Family Pact. So I'd like to introduce Leslie.
Hi. Okay. I have no relationship disclosures. I am working with the Bixby Center for Global Reproductive Health through the California Department of Public Health Office of Family Planning, evaluating, monitoring, and supporting the Family Pact program. I'll be discussing how an innovative provider profiles project implemented in 2005 is influencing provider behavior. And I want to acknowledge my colleagues who participated in preparation for this presentation, particularly Dr. Teal de Bocanegra, who's here in the audience, and the collaboration with the Office of Family Planning. California's Family Pact program was implemented by state mandate in 1996 to improve access to family planning reproductive health services to low-income men and women uninsured residents of California at risk for pregnancy or for causing pregnancy. The clients served in fiscal year 06-07 were 1.65 million clients. The program offers a comprehensive benefits package of family planning services for women, men, and adolescents. To improve clients' access to services, the program is open to both public and private providers enrolled to participate to offer the scope of services. They are previously Medicaid providers who enroll to participate specifically in our program. Providers are located throughout the state, and virtually all of California's Title X providers participate in the program. FamilyPack receives both federal and state funding, and providers are paid fees for service. The objective of the Provider Profiles project that we'll be discussing is to ensure the delivery of consistently high-quality services through the FamilyPack program. Past medical records reviews have revealed that there is some disparity between the quality of services delivered by private providers as opposed to public providers, and this was an effort to bring them more closely related to the public providers. Using claims data, OFP and UCSF developed quality improvement utilization management indicators that can be reliably represented by data already inherent to the program. The profiles offer feedback to providers, medical directors, and business managers on practice performance. And beginning in fall of 2005, we have released these profiles semi-annually, and we're able to track trends over time through this project. And this project is less time-consuming and labor-intensive than medical records reviews for assessing quality. The intent of the provider profiles, often referred to as report cards by commercial HMOs, is to offer an opportunity for providers to compare their performance in relation to their peers, either public or private. And through the comparison, we believe that there's a strong incentive to align more closely with their peers who deliver similar services in similar settings. A response form is included in the profiles packets that's mailed that gives the providers an opportunity to communicate with OFP with feedback, questions, and concerns. And the program assists by offering guidance, clinical guidance, and technical assistance to assist the providers. And additionally, by analyzing data in these ways, the Office of Family Planning is better informed in developing and implementing program policy. The project serves to satisfy the expectations of our funders in demonstrating that we're paying attention to the quality of services delivered, as well as good stewardship of financial resources. Throughout the two-year development of this project, we continuously examined claims, enrollment, and administrative data to determine key criteria for measurement. As you and the field are aware, there are very few nationally recognized standards for family planning quality. So we selected indicators that are clinically relevant, objectively measured, directly influenced by provider behavior, and linked to improved outcomes. So these are the family planning indicators that we have selected. The ones in the dark blue are the original six, and then we've added three more over time. The three quality indicators, the first is chlamydia screening rates in women under age 26. This is the one national guideline that we have to work with. This is CDC recommending that all women under age 26 have an annual chlamydia screening. We added chlamydia screening rates for women over age, for age 26 and over, because we were finding that providers were basically screening all women at the same rate, and it's not clinically indicated in older women where the prevalence of chlamydia is much, much smaller. And we also included pregnancy testing per 100 encounters as a quality indicator because the claims data and medical records reviews showed that many providers, particularly private providers, were screening every single woman who walked in the door at every visit without any clinical indication. So I'll let you read the utilization indicators that we've selected. We also have one administrative indicator, which is a collection of Social Security numbers that we need for our funding. And for this study that we're talking about today, we concentrated on five of the original indicators. So I'd like to show you what one indicator looks like. This slide shows an individual, one of the six original indicators. This represents a private medical group, and this is the chlamydia screening rate for women under age 26. And I just wanted to show you the data that we're able to offer the providers through this profile. We're able to offer the peer median. We're able to offer the periods of measure. Each one of these represents a period of measure. For the chlamydia screening rate, we're looking at an annual rate. So we take the present six-month period plus the previous to come up with an annual rate. This particular provider is performing at about 81%. He's a little bit higher than the peer median. The average for private providers is about 74%. We'd like to see this rise to about 95%. But compared to his peers, this particular medical group is doing a very good job. In addition to the individualized profiles, we also produce a statewide aggregated profile. And this is by all measures. You can see just four in this picture. The dark teal bars are public providers, and the lighter blue bars are private providers. And the statewide provider profiles are available to all providers, but we mail them to providers who don't qualify for receiving the individualized profiles because they haven't seen a sufficient number of Family Pack clients in a period. Our threshold is 50 Family Pack clients, and after that, the data is not as strong. So these data are available to all providers, but mailed to those who don't meet that threshold. So the next slide is going to represent the same data that you saw on the statewide profile, but in a slightly different format, a little bit easier for you to see. Again, this is statewide data, and this is the indicator for pregnancy tests per 100 Family Pack encounters, the light blue bar being the private providers and the darker teal bar being the public providers. And this is the early data that the providers saw in 2005 when they received their very first profiles. And at the far right is the most current data. So what I just wanted to point out, it's really easy to eyeball the change in behavior of private providers from 2003, which is 52 pregnancy tests per 100 encounters, and it drops down to the present time, 20 pregnancy tests per 100 encounters. And by contrast, the public providers have remained very, very stable at 32, 33 pregnancy tests per 100 encounters over the entire time of the provider profiles. But what I just wanted to point out is that there have been other interventions about pregnancy testing that the Office of Family Planning has offered, a clinical practice alert, some key messages in audio conferences and webinars. So we're not taking sole credit for this major change in behavior during this time period, but you can see that providers are voluntarily changing their practice patterns. We don't have pay-for-performance in this program, so it's purely voluntary, and it's very dramatic with this particular indicator. So for this study, we are doing a comparison over time between 2005 and 2007 when providers first received their profiles, and now enough time has passed so that we're able to do some assessment of whether we've had an impact. So we looked at providers who had profiles in both the first and the most recent release of the profiles, those providers who joined after the beginning and those who dropped off were not included in the assessment. Not all providers had a minimum of 50 clients in every indicator, so some of the ends in the measurements are slightly different, but it does still represent the same provider set. We conducted significant tests, t-tests of the average difference between the two time periods, and we plotted data on bell-shaped curves to see if providers move more closely towards the center. So here's the first one. This is a textbook indicator, and this is distribution of public providers by the number of encounters per client per year. And this is also an annualized indicator. The x-axis is the number of office visits per year, and the y-axis is the percentage. The pink curve is the data from 2005, and the black curve is the current data, which is July through December of 2007. Again, this is public providers. The average number of visits in 2005 was a little bit over 2, and the average in 2007 was 1.75. So you can see that the curve has moved farther to the left, and the base of it is a little bit broader so that there are more providers falling within that bell curve. So a little bit of change for private providers, but still it's demonstrated here. This is the same indicator for private providers, and you can see that there's more variability in 2005, but by 2007, the bell-shaped curve is taking a little bit better shape. It's a little bit higher, so more providers are claiming fewer encounters per year. In 2005, it was 2.17. By 2007, it was 1.8. So we can clearly see that the providers are aligning more closely with their peers. I'll show just one more indicator, both public and private. This is the, again, public, and this is the percent of evaluation and management visits coded at the highest level in Family Pact, which is a 99214. Typical routine family planning visits would usually be coded 99212 or 99213. So we're watching this one for utilization purposes, could represent upcoding. Although there are some providers who, by the nature of what they do, would be performing more visits at that higher level. For example, consultations with sterilization providers or colposcopists who are following women with abnormal PAPs. But I wanted to show here that the bell-shaped curve does demonstrate change over time. In 2005, again, the pink bar, much more variability. And in 2007, they're aligning much more closely with their peers. The bell-shaped curve is really moving over to the left, and more providers are charging a smaller percentage of visits at the 99214 level. This is the same measure by private providers. Again, it's kind of all over the place. Private providers don't behave quite the same way as public providers do. But there is significant change. Again, the pink bar is 2005, where the average was 22%, and in 2007, the average was 17% of visits billed at the 99214. So the profiles are having an impact. If you could see exactly where, if this were a true model of a bell-shaped curve, this is where the peak would be, right here at about 17% in 2005. It was over here at 22%. So this demonstrates a greater variability, but definitely change in behavior over time. So here's the results of our t-tests to demonstrate the change in behavior over time. The green area is private providers, and the yellow area is the public providers. The first column is the 2005 data, and the second is the 2007 in each of the colors. The first indicator, encounters per client, again, the same numbers that you saw a moment ago. But our t-test shows statistical significant change for both public and private providers. The second indicator, percent of visits coded, 99214. Again, statistical significance is demonstrated a little bit more strongly for private than public, but it's there. Average reimbursement per client has dropped. Statistically significant for both private and public providers. The pregnancy test per 100 encounters, statistically significant for private providers. It's really borderline for public providers, and so we're not going to say that we can attest that we've made impact in their behavior, but indeed we might be seeing a benchmark of public providers here because they have not changed their behavior over time. The last indicator that we evaluated was the chlamydia screening rate for women under age 26. And disappointingly, the profiles had no impact. And this is the one gold standard that we should be really doing a good job on. So we're going to focus our efforts on this particular indicator. And I'll talk about that in just a second. So the results of our study show that four out of five indicators there was statistically significant change between the time periods. And we know that our challenge is to improve the annual screening rate of chlamydia for women under age 26. While Family Pact has been doing a very good job in comparison to California's Kaiser Permanente system or Medi-Cal Managed Care HMOs, there's still a lot of room for improvement. The impact of the provider profiles has been much more pronounced among private providers than public, and this is partly due to the greater variability amongst the private providers. But these analyses confirm that ongoing consistent delivery of the provider profiles is influencing provider behavior and is rationale for sustaining the project. So what are the next steps for the Office of Family Planning? Firstly, we want to seek external validation from experts in the field of these and other claim-based QIUM indicators for family planning programs nationwide. And Family Pact has taken a leading edge in identifying these indicators. And as evidence builds over time and more studies are done, we may be establishing benchmarks that have not been previously recognized in family planning. OFP is continuing to conduct provider education to the broad audience, but is now going to begin focusing on targeted interventions to the poor performers, particularly with the chlamydia screening. We're about ready to roll out targeted letters to individual providers, giving them additional specific data, resources, and training opportunities. And in return, we're going to ask them to respond to the Office of Family Planning with chlamydia prevalence rates in their practices to justify the rate that they're testing, and along with their own quality improvement plan. So there will be a collaboration between OFP and the providers to try to improve their behavior in yet another way. And as noted earlier, additional indicators have been added since the beginning of the program, and some will drop off once sustained performance goals are met. And in fact, the pregnancy testing indicator is now moved to a web-based only, and providers will be accessing this, that on the web, will not be seeing that in the mailed packet that they'll be receiving. So that is the first one that we're going to move off the table. And as we have gleaned important information from provider feedback, we'll be keeping the channels of communication open through use of the feedback form, email contact, and telephone contact with the Office of Family Planning. And we're really delighted to report that providers are overwhelmingly positive response from providers to this project. So it's been very, very well received. So I just wanted to encourage you to go to the Family Pact website where you can find more information about the Provider Profiles Project and supporting documents. You'll also find some rich data reports, some provider support activities, evaluation activities, and other types of reports. And please feel free to contact me if you have any questions about this project or anything about Family Pact in general. So thank you.
Do we have any questions for Leslie? Not a very questioning. Okay, one question.
I was just wondering, are you going to make the entire survey eventually web-based, or did you find that the combination is on web-based? Is that going to be things get lost? Or?
Okay, a very good question. We started out with paper. We're still doing paper. Part of the provider feedback form, we've been collecting a lot of information from the providers, particularly current email addresses, names of contact people, the names of the medical directors or the chief clinician or the administrator of the practice, so that we could make sure that they received the mailings. but we are going to be transitioning to an entirely web-based release of the profiles so that they can go to the website. They can currently go to the website. They can get it both paper copy and web-based. By just entering their provider number, their NPI billing number, they can bring up the same information that they get by paper copy. We are going to phase out the paper copy purely because of expense, and providers will be encouraged to continue to give us current email addresses, and they will be able to go to the website, enter their NPI billing number, and pull up the data on the web. That's why we're phasing it in.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I have one question if no one else has. I'm wondering if you have the possibility of comparing this data, of having a control group of other providers who didn't receive the feedback and comparing that to the ones who did.
We've considered that. In the development of the project, we went through lots of iterations and tried to decide what was the threshold of data that could give us measurable information. And we felt that it was the providers must have served 50 Family Pack clients in any of the six-month periods. When they hit 49, they kind of drop off. When we first released the profiles and we sent out the statewide aggregated profile to the providers with a cover letter that explained that their profile was a little bit different, they immediately wanted more data. They really wanted to know how they were doing. And our response at this time has been, it's just not reliable. It's not rigorous enough to interpret the data. So we haven't decided that there would be a control group or a comparison. We try to give them as much as they can and encourage them to review the statewide data in comparison to their own practice data. Hopefully that's somewhat helpful. Right. The only indicator that we gave an expectation on was the chlamydia screening rate, the national guideline. We initially said we would like to see this be 80%. We've bumped that up now to 95%. On virtually all of the other indicators, we gave no expectation. So any change that we've seen, except for the pregnancy test where there were other interventions, the change is purely a result of the provider profiles. So we have not said that we expect X number of visits per year. We just wanted to give the information out to them as feedback and then see what happened with it.
I have a follow-up question to that. Because I'm not very well versed in the clinical part, they just know that it sounds like in this case fewer visits were better, and that's what you were looking at. Indicators seem to be more on like kind of cost containment.
Right. The question was, are fewer visits better? How do we decide that this is a good thing? The other data that we evaluated through the program, claims data in particular, but also medical records review, were showing that in many cases there were too many visits per year. Clinicians may have been asking their clients to return monthly or every 3 months for their pill pack. And of course, we've evolved over the years that really is no longer necessary. So although we haven't told them that they're doing bad, we're just telling them what they're doing in comparison to their peers, and that seems to be moving the bar a little bit.
So it's more wanting to be in line with their peers.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Any other questions? Comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a really interesting presentation and looking at the way we can really use data to improve quality and especially, in this case, to reduce medical barriers, which was like the number of visits can be a very serious barrier for women. So we want to change a little bit and I think go into talking about quality from the point of view of the client and some of our discussion here about, well, how are these kind of expectations of what is good quality are set, I think is very relevant to Davida's presentation, because she'll be talking about what clients perceive as good quality care. So I'd like to introduce Davida Becker. She is currently a Charlotte Ellertson postdoctoral fellow at the Bixby Center. She received her PhD from the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health in the Department of Population, Family Planning, and Reproductive Health. And her research interests have to do with quality of care, accessibility, and interestingly, she's worked both internationally and domestically, and she worked for the Population Council prior to coming back here and doing her doctorate. So, Davida?
So thank you, everyone, for coming. Is there a mouse? Oh, here's the mouse. Okay.